The following is offered by Discerning Hearts, a 501c3 nonprofit Catholic apostolate dedicated to spiritual formation through the use of new media. To download this selection, or to browse hundreds of other programs, or to contribute to our mission with a charitable donation which is fully tax deductible, visit our website at discerninghearts.com. So what's on your heart today, Monsignor?
The assumption, you know, the Catholic tradition of the love of Mary is so magnificent. And sometimes we owe it to our Protestant brothers and to others to tell them about this magnificent love that we have for Mary. There was this minister, you know, who's just had very little disdain for people who had a love for Mary, and it's not very biblical. And he was getting his shoes shined in one of those places in an airport where, you know, this little Mexican kid was shining his shoes, and his miraculous medal was going back and forth on his neck. And he said, "What do you have there, son?" And he said, "It's a medal of the Blessed Mother, the Mother of Jesus." And he said to her, he said, "Well, she's no different than your mother, is she?" "I don't know, mister, but there's a hell of a lot of difference between the sons." And so our love for Mary is that difference of who her son is. Her son is the Son of God. And the scripture tells us that he is the Son of God who came to earth. How would we not be so interested in the one to whom he came? Jesus himself was asked about this when this woman in the crowd in the 11th chapter of St. Luke said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you." And he said, "Yea, rather also blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it." No one heard the word of God more powerfully than Mary. In Luke's gospel in the first chapter, "Hail, favored daughter," this Gabriel said to Mary, "the Lord is with you. Blessed are you," says her cousin Elizabeth. And yes, because she heard the word of God, "I have a son." God coming to her and asking her to be the mother of his son. The word of God was first in her heart, and then it came into her womb. She loved the word of God. There was no one more familiar with the scriptures than Mary. The 45 books of the Old Testament, she knew them. She also knew that Yahweh, the God, the Father, wanted her to be the mother of his son. And how can that be? And she's the first to hear that God had a spirit. The Holy Spirit shall overshadow you, and the one to be born of you is the Son of God. The word of God, the Father telling her that he has a son, came to her first. No one heard that before. No one knew the Father except the Son and the Son to whom he revealed him. It was Jesus who told us about his Father, and the Father now telling us about his Son, and the Holy Spirit being revealed to Mary. The word of God was first revealed to her and then conceived in her womb. Blessed, yes, are they who hear the word of God and keep it, which he actually did. In the book of Revelations, this beautiful temple, which Mary is, the heavens open up in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations. And there she is, a woman clothed with the sun. the moon under her feet, and surrounded by the choirs of angels, this Blessed Mary, this Virgin Mary, is now conceiving the Son of God, and the dragon wants to destroy him, and he wants to attack him. Here is she who is going to bring about somewhat the salvation of the entire world. Holy Mary, Mother of God, here this God has been conceived and born in the womb of the Virgin. God becomes a man through the womb of the Virgin, and mankind now can say, we have someone who is God, who is now a human being like ourselves. Perfect man, perfect human being, has become our Savior. He suffered, he died, and he was raised from the dead. And he now reigns at the right hand of God in heaven. We believe in the Catholic tradition that after he suffered and died and went to heaven, his mother, we have no grave site for Mary. We have such treasures as the grave where Peter was killed, where Paul was killed. We are so well known for all of those spots on earth where our heroes die. There is no such place, or has ever been, that Mary was buried, died, and was buried. There's a long tradition, and especially first given to us by St. John Damascene, that she fell into a dormition, and then was taken, that she didn't die. And there's that very famous image of her as being dormant and then taken to heaven. In the West, it was thought, because her son died, that in imitation of him, she too died and then was taken by the angels into heaven. The Feast of the Assumption was declared a dogma of the Catholic Church, but it has always been believed by we Catholics that Mary was assumed into heaven and taken up and is there with her son in paradise. And that, now, where did she go? I would love to have us think about, especially when we have such beautiful revelations of Mary in our times. We do believe, and it's a very strong faith tradition of ours, that she came and in 1531 appeared at Guadalupe, that here in the very epicenter of North and South America in Mexico, at her shrine at Guadalupe, that she appeared here in 1531. We believe very strongly that she appeared in Fatima in 1917, 100 years ago, this very year. These coming to earth of Mary, where is she? She who has been assumed into heaven, body and soul, and she makes these appearances. When the children at Fatima see her, she's fully a human who has her body as well as her soul. They have a hard time describing her beauty. And it was the same when Juan Diego was describing, and when she took a kind of selfie of herself and gave it to Juan Diego. And here's she's Mexican. And here she is, she's European in Fatima. And when she appears at Cabello in Rwanda, she's black, she's African. Our Lady has got a body though. And when she reveals herself to us humans here on Earth, she is a beautiful, we always knew her as being so beautiful. And so we have this revelations of her and how beautiful she is. I really love to think of her. You know, when we say it's not a scriptural tradition, it's a very strong scriptural tradition that the Ark of the Covenant, which in the Mass of today in Chronicles, tells us about when she first, what did David do, and where did he go to find the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant was that in which God's presence was in the temple of the Old Testament. And David describes it. David, and Chronicles says, assembled all Israel in Jerusalem to bring the Ark of the Lord to the place that he had prepared for it. The Ark of the Covenant was so sacred to, and that it had been lost for a time, and now it was discovered in the hill country outside Jerusalem. David also called together the sons of Aaron and the Levites. So he calls in the priest. The Levites bore the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders with poles, as Moses had ordered, according to the word of the Lord. The reverence that they had for that in which the presence of God was contained. Mary was the one in whom the incarnate word of God came into her. He became incarnate. The Son of God dwelled in her. She is the new Ark of the Covenant. In the Old Testament, this Ark, They brought in the Ark of the Covenant and set it within the temple, which David had pitched for it. Then they offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings to God. When David had finished offering up burnt offerings and peace offerings, he danced before the Ark. Now, there certainly wasn't lost on the writers of the New Testament. Here is David and dancing before the Ark. So overwhelmed was he with the joy of the Ark in which God's presence was, and now it was going to be replaced in the temple. It's the same Ark of the Covenant that was there in the temple that Jesus went to. They honored that which contained the presence of God. Who is that for us? It's Mary. And so when we have Mary visiting with Elizabeth, and this is also in the Mass of today, when she comes and greets Mary. And what happens with John? The same thing that happened with David. The writer of the New Testament did not miss that. He dances before the presence of the Ark, in whom was contained Jesus Christ. The first sign of the Old Testament, again, dancing before the Ark of the Covenant. Where was it held? In that hill country of Jerusalem. That's where Mary went to visit with Elizabeth. This reference is certainly not lost. Mary is the new Ark of the Covenant, in whom is the presence of God, who brings forth to our world Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Son of the living God. So today, we all rejoice. That same Mary was taken to be in heaven with the Father. She now dwells with the Trinity. I would love to have us today, finally, as we think about her in this year of Fatima, this 100th year. Where did she go? Where did she go? She went to the Trinity. And who is dwelling in you, beloved Christian? In you is dwelling Jesus. In you is dwelling the Father. As the Father has loved me, and the Father is in me, so I am in you. By water and the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit who has come upon me. The Holy Trinity dwells in me. Where did Mary go? Intimately connected with every Christian is Mary. The Blessed Mother ascended into heaven to be with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of God. You are the first tabernacle in which dwells the Trinity. The holiness of God, when we live in grace, if we could begin to recognize who we are, dwelling then within us is the Trinity and Mary. So that when we pray, when we go into our inner selves, there we find the Father. There we find Jesus. There we find the Holy Spirit. And there, with the Trinity, is Mary. You can actually, because of that faith that is ours, because she's there, because Jesus is there with his body, his risen body, in you, that same Mary is there with her body. That's the mystery. I really recognize that. But when we enter into the mystery of our faith, isn't it wonderful that you can actually experience the presence of God in your heart, and that Jesus has so united himself with you by grace and faith that Mary can hold your hand. If you hold her rosary and you're thinking and you're praying today on this feast, when you go to Mass and you're there with Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and you receive him, that she is there with you and in you with the Trinity.
Monsignor, that's such a powerful thought. I mean, because Mary is there with the Trinity, and because the Trinity dwells within us, then, as you're saying, then all of heaven, really, because isn't heaven where the Father is? So in a very real way, Mary is there, but also could it be said that the saints have a very real presence with us?
Absolutely. All of the mystics have said that. All of those who have really entered, really the key to entering into this world, into seeing this temple that is within us, this all of the saints, Saint Teresa of Avila especially, heaven is all the way to heaven. We don't have to wait to heaven to be in heaven. The joy of heaven is here, and he has given us that entrance into it through the temple of our own hearts. So as you enter into, St. Paul talks very clearly about it in the third chapter of Ephesians. I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name, so that he who dwells in your heart, in your inner self, by faith, that in that the length and breadth and height and depth, so that Christ is within us and we contain the living God within us, so that we, along with Mary and along with all the saints, they don't have to be just images of pictures on your wall or statues in your house. They can actually be present to us all day long, as well on this great feast of the Assumption of Our Lady, who can introduce us to this magnificent family as she welcomes us in prayer into her heart.
Monsignor, can you help those individuals who have encountered that teaching, who have come to understand because of their yes, essentially at baptism, that, you know, they invited, they said, yes, come and dwell within us. I receive this. That sometimes we have to be careful to not allow pride to seep in where humility needs to reign. And what I mean by that is that we stay balanced in the sense that we don't believe now we have a power. We do have our baptismal power, but it's not us. It's not I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. But sometimes we can get, especially in the United States, I think, because we have the ability to acquire much. When you see it in the poor can't acquire very much. They have a real sense of the humility of what it is to be like Mary. Have you ever encountered that? Am I going far afield here in this question?
I believe that pride is always something that can easily be fallen into. And it's not just because we're Americans, but just humans can easily fall into that. But what I really see in my heart is that when you see that the very life that is giving us life, who is that? It's Jesus. I am the way and the truth and the life. As you enter into him and through him, to the Father. The only thing that he, if you are one with him, the only thing he wants to do is the will of the Father. I only know to do the will of the Father. What is the mind of Christ? To only do the will of the Father. That will always keep us humble. That's why Mary, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. Rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God, that God, our Father, is always speaking to us. He always has a desire, a will, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When we enter into Jesus, we enter into the Father who is constantly telling me in my specific life of Jesus what he wants me to do. It is my will to do the will of my Father. The life that is going on within me here in this world, the Paschal mystery, is always a suffering, always a dying, always a rising. The life that I live now is not I, as Paul says, but it is Christ who lives in me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The Trinitarian life into which we're entering has always been. If you enter truly into the life of the Trinity, glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning. Push a pause button there. Long before you ever were or anything in this world, the Father was always loving the Son. The Son was always loving the Father. And the one who communicated that between them was the Holy Spirit. That's the life of the Trinity. Take your hand off the pause button. Is now, right now, in every one of us, is that Trinitarian life. We are 2,017 years after his birth. In the year 33, he suffered, died, and rose from the dead and went back to heaven and is at the right hand of the Father. In the year that I was baptized, 1928, and the moment that I entered into that divine life, I joined in that divine life. Is now. That 89 years ago or whatever is now just continuing in me, being purified, cleansed, moment by moment, day by day, until he who created me, sanctifies me, sees me to the end of my days, and says, yes, John, and when that day comes, is now, and the hour of my death, and then I pass to eternal life. That's what happened to my father on September the 11th, 1996. That's what happened to my mother and in January the 21st, 1987. And what happened then? They are now in eternal life. They're really with us in this temple. So we and they are together, and we pray in this world for the sanctification and salvation of all the world. What a life to enter. What an intense life. What a full life. What a life in which we could constantly grow today, in the eternal now that I could enter into on this beautiful Feast of the Assumption. I don't know if that helps, but that's my thoughts for this morning.
It's beautiful, Monsignor. Just beautiful. Any final thoughts?
Yes. What a magnificent opportunity we have every day to grow in that divine love. I hope tomorrow I'll be able to love him more than I do today. And I hope today I love him more than I did yesterday. Because that's the capacity we all have. To love him more today than yesterday. And to love him more tomorrow than we do today. God bless.
Thank you. I think I love you more than I did yesterday. But not as much as I will tomorrow.
I hope so.
Okay. Have a great day, Monsignor.
You've been listening to Building the Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif. To hear and or to download this program or to browse hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to support our efforts. But most of all, we pray that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com.